go. We're locked in.
All right.
And the intro music fades out. And I'm here with a room full of people, half of which I've never met before. But we're going to do the introductions. I'm with Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
I'm with John von Trachtenberg. Trachtner.
Techner.
Almighty. Good luck to me. Deb and Frank Sacco.
Good morning from Reed's Ride.
Kat Ryan is with us, but she never talks. She got mad at me for not inviting. She got upset with me for not inviting her to the Beauport one. But the reason I didn't invite her was because we could only have 8 people there, and I figured if I was going to use up spaces, there's going to be someone that would actually talk to her. So maybe that sunk in. All right, and we have introduce yourself.
Karen Pischke.
Karen, part of our Cape Ann Wellness Program. Doing a good job. Your posts are very detailed. I love the energy and the effort that you put into all your posts.
Thanks, Jerry.
Because I don't think they're just pitches. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're informative as well.
That's my goal.
Yeah. No, you do a good job.
Thank you very much.
Pat on the back. Your post today, what was the latest post that you just did? You brought some new information to the table. Come on. Tell me what it was.
Was it about the Worcester?
Yes, the Worcester thing.
Oh, the Smart Growth Conference.
Yeah. So how do you get it? Okay, you were at the Smart Growth Conference. You went to it last year and you sent us pictures, right?
Yeah.
So how are you as a civilian involved in this?
Because I'm an art consultant, and the planning departments usually work with art advisors. And
so the City of Gloucester's planning group?
No, I go independently because
so anybody can show up? You were just sitting in the audience? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For my own business.
Because you're interested in that.
Yeah, because I conduct jury panels or work with artists to do public art.
You traveled all the way out to Worcester for that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
To see what was going on in Worcester, which is a lot.
Yeah. Well, the number was staggering.
It was staggering. They've turned around $800 million of public, private, and municipal funding just in the Civic Center downtown. It's not the whole budget.
That's going to set
and
that place off.
And I didn't realize they were the second biggest city in Massachusetts.
I read that in your post.
It really has changed. I mean, if you haven't gone in a long time.
My first big time girlfriend was from Worcester, Massachusetts.
What's a big time girlfriend?
Serious.
What's a big time? But first serious
your
girlfriend.
Your first serious girlfriend.
Yeah, first like multiple year girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And really nice girl. Her siblings live. Well, one of them lives on Rocky Neck. Allison Cohen, her name was. Really nice girl. So I spent time in Worcester. It wasn't such a. I mean,
not
a beautiful
then,
place back then.
Then 86,
87.
Yeah.
88, like that. Not particularly like gorgeous, but I imagine like everything else, it's probably come a long way. Yeah. What were your impressions?
That was 30 years ago.
City Hall is unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah.
The way that they've restored it, and they have an incredible big park right downtown, and it looked like there a lot was going on, and they have some pretty dead, big public spaces downtown that they're trying to reconfigure.
That's
awesome. Right in the middle, like real huge dead spots.
Well, you know, art leads the way in just about every community. Art and restaurant things seem like they lead the way in every city's revival. Huge key components of artists moving into town and restaurants,
and,
right?
And this particular one is about zoning
people.
And walking. So less car, like how can you make it more about walking seem to be every single angle. Biking, walking.
Right.
Yeah.
It's huge now.
So it hits everything.
People meet each other.
So in the last 7 or 8 years, there's been this big thing about dense, having a lot of giving leeway for condominiums on top of retail, like in civic centers. So make these work communities where you spend money in the shops and you live above the shops or near the shops. It's all walking distance, as opposed to the sprawl.
Right.
You know, one family taking up an acre. You know, you have several families. You know,
right. I mean,
is that am I wrong there?
No, that's part of it, but it's also tying it into what are the things that are indicative for your community. And for Gloucester, there are so many multifamily existent old gorgeous houses. Mm. So
those Hopper houses that you always
highlighted. That's right. Reconfigure those for multifamily or multi apartments rather than, you know, other places can build up over stores and things. But we actually have a lot right here, and then you're reformatting it for the identity of your town. So for Worcester, a lot of their stuff was hospital and health related because that's a big part of what they do. And I didn't know that either. So it's not that it's cookie cutter everywhere. Mm. So Ocean Spray has this built up community that they did along all the marshes there. And they really built out related to the environment that they have. So if something like that came here, and was working with the existing housing, then we still need, it's not like we want that duplicated here or we want what Worcester's doing. It's like,
what's right for this
and
community?
We're already walkable and tiny, already our
The restaurants, the
and
shops,
by the trains and biking.
Right.
So you retain the culture of the.
Yeah, where you were at. Yeah. So it's very positive. It's very young.
Did you like the way I just sucked her into talking?
Yeah.
She never talks. She never wants to talk. I just sucked her right in. I went right for the heart with the art.
Passion. You got to find your passion.
Sucked you right in. You didn't even know what you were doing. I had my mind freaked you right there.
But in the middle of it, they featured Gloucester, and I didn't even know that.
And it was one of the pictures of the.
One of the pictures of the mural was, you know, highlighted as a national example.
That's wonderful.
It's awesome.
And you're a big part of that.
All right, let's go to the next one.
There you go.
James Owen Calderwood.
So what?
James Calderwood.
Oh, that's the guy that did the net thing?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's in between, what's the name of that?
Parsons Street.
Parsons Street, which is in between the dress code and the Olympia Piazzolla's old place.
That's right.
People love that fishnet. I just see them all the time, like kids. Oh,
it's a corridor to the, is there lights there? Did they put lights in there yet?
Yes, afterwards.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Wow.
All right, we're gonna go to John, and we're gonna talk about your company. So let's talk about the Innovation House. So for people that might not know, it's in Magnolia.
Sure.
And were you the founder of Innovation House?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit of the background of that, and then let's talk about your, because there's more than just you in Innovation House. Let's talk about what you're doing inside that place.
So with Innovation House, in some ways, it starts with an Innovation House in Iceland. In an Innovation House in Iceland, we have 18 startups. So this is in the town that I was born, a tiny little town with about 4,000 people. So we put in, I found some space, I put up room for a few companies, and there's 18 companies there. I have a relationship with Oslo as well. I lived in Norway for 25 years. And there's some friends of mine that are running an incubator there of a kind at the university. They have about 65 companies there at any one time. And then I found the inn in Magnolia, made that up, fixed that up a little bit. And the idea there is that it's more of a destination. We were not sure how it would evolve, right? Mm. Whether it would be a lot of companies that would be residing there or if it would be more guests. People coming from Norway and Iceland that are thinking about maybe doing something here or just having a brainstorming session or just getting out in a different environment. And so we've been doing that. So currently at the Innovation House, I mean, there's Vivaldi, and actually at this very moment there is most all of Vivaldi, meaning there's people working in Norway and Iceland. There's people working in Russia, in
We should. Sorry to interrupt you, but when you say all of Vivaldi is here, Vivaldi, we're going to get to this, is an operating system, not an operating system, I'm sorry, a browser, internet browser, that Vivaldi is the company and the name of the browser as well.
Yes.
That you guys are developing.
Yes.
So when you say all of Vivaldi is here, your whole team... Your whole team is spread out, and it's but they're here in Magnolia at the Innovation House currently.
Yeah, I mean part of the thinking of how we use the Innovation House is that for companies to visit, and in this case it's then my company that's visiting, and we would, because we are distributed, it's important to gather and work together as a team. Now, you can do that. The typical thing is to have a retreat somewhere for a few days, and then people just go there and they work hard. In our case, it's a little bit different. We say, okay, come over for as long as a month. Bring the family if you like.
Because you have the inn component.
Yes.
Ah. Yeah.
So we have 18 bedrooms at the inn. So we people bring their families, and they have a kind of a joint, okay, there's work during the day, during the night, going out for dinner, grilling, canoeing during the weekends, biking. There's a number of the guys that are really into biking. So it's a way to bring everyone together through more than just work. So this is the way we are thinking that the Innovation House can work, that it can be a destination for companies to bring them together. And so we are doing this, and a number of other companies are doing the same. They're coming over. Besides that, we have ourselves, and we have the bridge there.
Yeah, they're doing good work. I respect what Corey's doing there. He's got a company. It's basically a marketing company, and to extract money from people. It's very difficult to convince them, but it's innovative. What they're doing is very innovative. Mm-hmm. He's one of the people that is working out of your space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but mostly, as I said, it's people coming from various, from Norway and Iceland mostly. They're coming over and they stay for a little while.
How did you find this particular? I mean, there's the whole world.
Right.
What was it that brought you here?
So I'm an engineer, so obviously this was a thorough process. After building my own company, my old browser company, for 17 years, I quit. The disagreements with investors about the directions of the company led to me quitting. And suddenly I was in a situation where I was thinking, what am I going to do when I grow up? Part of this was, okay, we can move anywhere in the world. And there was a process where I traveled around the world a bit, different parts of Europe, different parts of the US, and we decided to come here. We think this place is great, fantastic, beautiful. We love the people, we love everything about this place. It feels kind of like home in some ways. I mean, my little place in Iceland, you're just on the ocean. I mean, you can kind of wave over there if it wasn't that far away. It's kind of a direct line, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's there's a similar feeling to it. And it just, from the first day we came here, it just felt like home.
Mm.
So there was a 6-month process of deciding to move here.
Mm.
When you say deciding, do you mean not only company, but did your family move over here as well?
Yeah. We're all here.
Wow, that's awesome.
So it felt like
a fishing village, a bigger fishing village here.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, obviously fishing is big in Iceland, so there's a lot of strong ties between what we're doing here. And by the way, we've had actually some fish tech companies coming over from Iceland, and they've had meetings here as well, and I'm hoping something comes out of it, because they have some innovative ideas on how you can utilize more parts of the fish that are currently not being used for much, right?
We did back when my grandfather was still working. We used to split codfish and salt cod. There's a guy, Roger, from over there that would spend time here. We put the fish up for them, split the codfish wide open, salt them, lay them down, keep them for amount of time so they dry out, and then ship them over there.
Wow.
Yeah, that was back in the 70s.
Yeah. Ship it over to Iceland?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So now we're going to talk about the part that really interests me, the geeky part. Vivaldi. There's Opera. I mean, there is Firefox. There's Microsoft's Internet Explorer. There's Safari. Why Vivaldi?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the different browsers, they're kind of similar in their approach.
Mm.
They're really focusing on being fairly limited. They're not trying to do everything. They would kind of like you just to start the browser and then start from there, typically searching, right? Our thinking is there's a need for a browser that's more individual, that has more features and more customization. And that's where out of the box, you'll notice it's more colorful. I think it's more beautiful. We have very good designers. So out of the box, it just looks a bit more fresh. Well, actually, a lot more fresh, in my humble opinion. The guys are brilliant. But from there, then you notice, okay, there's a lot of different ways to do things. I mean, you can place, maybe you want your tabs on the right or at the bottom, or maybe you just want them to disappear to have more space. Mm. You can change the coloring. That's something that's coming in the next release. We have a very extensive bookmarks handling. You notice when you open the browser that there is a number of visual kind of thumbnails of sites, mm-hmm. or and you can add your own. So this is a visual representation of bookmarks. It's quite useful. If you prefer to use the keyboard, there are keyboard shortcuts, and you can add your own. There is, you can change the content of the page, meaning zoom in, zoom out very easily. Mm. There is the basic principle of if you quit the browser and it starts up again, it starts up where it left. That's something you can set in all the browsers, but it's by default. If you close a tab by mistake because you have a lot of them, there's undo. It opens up the tab again.
Oh, wow, that's very interesting. Yeah. Is it, do you have a login for it?
There's no login at this time, no.
Okay, so if I'm on this computer at the dock and I go to my house, is there any correlation between the two?
Syncing is not in yet. It's on our to-do list.
Okay. Yeah. But I did go to the website, and it's everything that he said it is. It is visually very clean, and it seems like it's a module kind of. You pick and choose what you want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, we believe that people are different, have different ways of working or playing, and they would like to have, and we see that. I mean, people want to do things in different ways, and we enable that. You can do things in any way you like, and we don't think there's a single right way. There's just your way, and your way is always right. Mm.
Customer
is always right. So in software, that's kind of been forgotten somewhere, mm-hmm. I think, in some cases. We've been moving in
the direction. I think people are afraid, probably. As a software designer, my thinking would be they're afraid of that, because mm-hmm. that makes, everybody's trying to simplify. If you make changes, my thinking is they probably think, oh, then if we need to do revisions, we have to go to the core of it, and it's gonna, I don't know.
I mean, obviously, it's more complex,
yeah.
what we are doing. I think there's, I mean, in the old days, the software was had a lot of feature but was difficult to use.
Yeah.
And then we went totally in the opposite direction, which is, okay, we remove gradually all the functionality, and you should just remove everything to make it simple.
Oh, yeah. Windows 8, to me, is the prime example of taking away a ton of functionality because they wanted it to be able to use cross-platform. Mm-hmm. So they took it down to the base level of smartphone, but took away so much of the desktop functionality to make it, you know.
That's what Final Cut has done. That's why
because the trend is towards mobile, you know, and so many kids grow up and they don't have a desktop. So many kids don't even have a laptop anymore. Like, laptops are like old news for an 18-year-old.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
iPads. You know, everybody has an iPad. Yeah. And some kids don't even have iPads. It's all they have is a big cell phone. Yeah. But I think that probably in the race to go bring the desktop to the mobile, I think they've almost forgotten about like a real usable desktop experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, in reality, a lot of us spend a lot of time inside the browser, right? Hours each day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And with any other tool that we use, we will have different opinions on how it should work, right?
Mm-hmm.
We buy tools that have different levels of functionality, have different colors. I mean,
mother wants something that, you know, is very extremely simple and doesn't want to be confused by things.
Sure.
Like a power user that is, you know, that has a business on the web or whatever, and there's certain things that, you know, once you figure it out, is going to make your life infinitely easier. I mean, there's definitely markets for that kind of thing.
There's a significant market. And what we are finding is, and that's the beautiful thing, and that's why, in a way, I went back to doing what I'm doing now. There's the enthusiasm. We have hundreds of volunteers that are helping us. I mean, it's insane. People are spending time helping us translate, so in more than 50 languages, helping us test, give us feedback. A number of them are also building fan sites in local languages. They're spreading the word as much as they can. And when you build a product that creates that kind of enthusiasm around it, that's when you feel really great. And I mean, you can go in and you can see the comments that we're getting on the on our community site, the press that we've been getting. I mean, it's been a lot of fun.
How much stock do you put into, like, it seems like everything, like Firefox and Chrome have gotten so deep into the extensions. And it seems like
extensions
are little add-ons that will give you different functionality in your browser.
Okay.
But they're from third parties. They're not necessarily from Chrome or from Firefox. But it seems to me that whenever 9 out of 10 problems are either from Java or from some extension that is not communicating the right way, and it'll hang up. How much emphasis do you put on, like, making sure everything is workable and doesn't hang up with an extension?
Sure. I mean, there's two sides to that. One of it is we just put in an awful lot more functionality ourselves that you can use, and by doing that, you don't need as many extensions. Other than that, we are compatible with the Chromium or Chrome extension, so we can use the same extensions in general. We try to do our best to make them behave, but in reality, the biggest thing that we can do is to ensure that you don't need as many of them.
Mm. Is Java necessary? I'll look back. Do you have Java installed on your computer?
I'm not needing it anymore, and I think in the browser space, I mean, plugins, Java, Flash, it's all going away.
Why do you always get a pop-up, and then when you try to install it, they try to install 5,000 new bookmark bars and everything else?
I mean, generally, this is a part of our business model, right? So if you're installing some different part, then they will try to install something else to generate revenue. You might get, like you say, a toolbar or Chrome or something like that. I mean, quite often you'll actually end up getting Chrome, so a new browser, by installing, say, Acrobat or whatever old tool that you might be using. You might have a new browser and you have these toolbars. The toolbars are, a lot of people are not a fan of those for sure. By the way, for the record, we do not do any of that.
But that is very encouraging.
Yeah.
Because it is my number one computer gripe is getting you have to install this, you need to this update, and if you don't update it, like all of a sudden your browser's getting wonky or something like that. So you'd go to do the install, and if you mess up and don't uncheck all the boxes, you get this rogue thing on your computer that's completely slowing your computer down, and is the most frustrating thing in the world to me. Mm. But so where can people get the Vivaldi browser?
Vivaldi.com.
Very difficult. I don't know if I can remember that. I gotta spell it. VIVALDI.com. Where did the name come from?
I mean, it was just trying to find a simple name.
Is there a Latin origin?
It's a composer. A fabulous composer.
Vivaldi, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So there's some. I mean, my last company was opera. So.
Oh, you were involved in opera?
Yeah, I was co-founder and CEO of Opera.
Wow, that's a big deal. So that's no joke. And you decided to come here.
Yeah, I mean, to me, again, as I told you, this is a beautiful place. And I guess the fact that I was the CEO and co-founder of Opera means that people are taking Vivaldi a bit more seriously than any other startup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you come with the pedigree, and you come with the... I mean, you come with cachet, because that's something that most people have heard of. So that gives you your foot is in the door already.
Yeah, no, I'm proud of. I mean, currently Opera has 350 million active users.
Oh,
so I mean, it's a sizable user base. So,
okay, this is what I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna try it out this week. I'm gonna switch over.
Me too.
I'm gonna try it out. Why not?
Yeah.
Right? Can I import my bookmarks fairly easily?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Because I can't deal without my... All on the top, I have one letter acronyms for all of the my visited and parts of the components that make the blog go.
Okay.
So if I can't do that, then I'm...
By the way, I think if you like bookmarks, you will find that we have a lot. I mean, we have the bookmark bar, as you mentioned. We have the visual bookmarks. You can search for bookmarks, but you can make nicknames. So you can just write short nicknames to go to any site. There's a lot of things that which should make your life a lot easier if you're a heavy user of bookmarks.
Well, yeah, I need to be able to bounce from here to 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 make this thing go. So yeah, thank you for your time. You're welcome to hang out because we're going to talk about a few other awesome stuff.
Great.
And thanks for coming. Thanks. I'm excited to try the browser.
Yeah,
and we'll report our findings.
Okay.
You gonna do it too?
I'm definitely.
Anybody else in?
Yeah.
Who's in?
This is great.
You're in? Vivaldi. Okay. Everybody's got to report back. All right. We're all new testers. All right.
Great. Send me mails.
There you go. Yeah. No pressure. I'm sorry. Deb Sacco and Frank Sacco are here to talk about Reed's Ride. How many years has Reed's Ride been going on?
12th year. 12th year. Reed's been gone 11. And we started started Monday morning after his services, saying, you know, what can we do? Do we just roll over or do we make a difference? We happened to be with him the night he passed, and he was a strong and energized, ambitious and talented young man. And he said, do not make my life nothing.
Oh, wow.
So we
what
did that.
What happened to him?
At 18, we started with Reed. He was 18, high school, Linfield High School student. Smart kid, honor student, musician. Yeah. He played the violin, piano.
Symphony.
Yes.
Sailor rowed.
Yeah.
The state swimmer.
So what happened to him?
And he found cancer.
Cancer. Okay.
One of his legs.
He had a rhabdomyosarcoma in the upper muscle of his thigh.
Yeah.
For 2 years he fought, and mm-hmm. unfortunately didn't pan out for him. But, but my brother and my sister-in-law found it. Reed's parents found it. For his particular age group, there's not a lot of options as far as treatments.
For young adolescent.
What do you mean there isn't very much?
Do you remember what Next Step Living, what they said?
Yeah.
Next Step Living said that for young children, there's a ton of resources.
Yeah.
For older people, there's a ton of resources. Yeah. The teens... There's very little resources.
There's nothing in 40 years. There's no research. They've spent no money.
Yeah.
And
they're just kind of lost in the system.
Right. Our next generation of people are passing because cancer is killing them, and there's no way to go. You start as pediatric cancer, and then you jump, if you're 18, 19, you jump to adult cancer, and they go like, what do we do? Yeah. We had to go to Washington, and no one would touch him here.
Yeah, wow.
We went to Washington, and this wonderful doctor that we're still friends with now, surgeon, said, bring him on. I'm going in there and getting it.
Oh, nice.
Saved his leg at the time, but ended up losing his leg and a kidney and a lung.
So now in his memory,
yes.
you've developed this thing, Reed's Ride.
Reed's
Tell
Ride.
Us what Reed's Ride is.
Reed's Ride is a 28-mile bicycle ride that goes through all the communities that Reed was involved in, whether it be the symphony, swimming, every community we searched out for a 28, and it ended up being 28 miles, and led us to Gloucester, where I have to say is like family.
Mm.
They have encompassed us. Tina set us to Karen.
Tina Kachopoulos.
Kachopoulos.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Love her.
Tina and I
Miss
worked
her.
At the hospital together, yep. So we have ambassadors, and we Reed's physician was roommate with Ann Margaret Ferrante, our state rep, who our mayor, Safathia, worked with us. Her whole family volunteers.
Mm.
The Tars, Bruce Tar doesn't let anybody know, but he comes at the end of the ride and picks up all the trash. So with all the other support we have up at Stage Ford Park, Gloucester is a huge, huge family to us.
How many people participate?
300.
Last year was 400. Yeah. We're 50 ahead of registration last year.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping for more.
Can people show up on the day?
Yes. We have same day registration.
Do they get t-shirts?
Yeah, if we have.
I don't know.
Left,
I was just curious. Yes. Like, when you did you register? Is that part of the deal? Like, you know how if you do a race, you get a T-shirt.
Yes. So we pride ourselves in having a ride that doesn't have people raising thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's $175 now, maybe. I think we just...
That's the suggested donation. $100 to register, and that's it. Mass Challenge is about $4,000.
Yeah.
Wow. This is, we keep it under $300.
And
it's more about the message.
It's more about the message, and as I have to say, we are not a foundation. We are an alliance. There's a difference. We are all volunteers. We started at the kitchen table, and I say that my sister-in-law moved up a little bit. They're up in the second floor bedroom now. We began at the kitchen table. We're in the same house. There's nobody that isn't paid. We have thousands of volunteers that donate their time. Karen Peschke and her team come every year to Stagecoach Park. We get Reiki. We get foot massage. Everybody there donates.
You donate that time, huh, Karen?
Yeah, it's a great team. And the first year, Tina Kachopoulos contacted me. And if anyone that knows Tina, you can't say no to them.
No. Yeah,
you couldn't say no to her.
You wouldn't want to.
So the very first year was just me, and I come to this event at Stagecoach Park, and the energy was just palpable. It was just like so upbeat, and the weather was amazing, and you're right there overlooking the harbor, and you know, sunshine, cool breeze, just perfect.
Yeah.
So each year we've added to the team, and this last year I think we were 8 or 10 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive. And a lot of people take you up on the Reiki?
Oh yeah.
More
to sign up.
Yeah.
Wait in line.
Have you done it?
And
what'd you think of it?
I loved it. Well, I go to the share. So I do the foot massage the day of the ride. Frank and I ride a tandem that day. He rides on his own hundreds of miles, but on the day to kind of keep me safe, and he's a good man for it, we ride a tandem that day, and so my feet, I have to keep up with him. I do the feet massage that day, and at the share, I do the Reiki, and it's spiritual. We reflect. I reflect on Reed. And
does it relax? Does it make you relax?
Oh, it's relaxed. It's medicinal. Yeah. It's mind, body, and soul. And in life, when you have a mission, you have to be mind, body, and soul. You cannot... You can't be distracted.
And what they've done in the 10 years, they raised enough money. Well, in the first 10 years, they raised enough money to start a whole adolescent and young adult center at Tufts Medical Center.
Are you kidding me?
No, we've raised, and Karen is involved in that. She is granted and serves our adolescent, young adult cancer patients, because people don't think that because you're in the time of your life, you're working, you're dating, you're engaged, you have to leave your job, you have to take off school. You know, Reed was admitted to Columbia University. He never made it. He went to BU and took classes while having treatments, and his dream was done. And Reiki helps. So in the 12 years, we've raised over $1 million.
Ooh.
We have two runs, one run in Connecticut, one run in Massachusetts. We have our Reed's Ride. Every team has come up now lately with a way to raise money to support their teams.
Right.
So we have comedy night, we have paint night. We've all come together as one big family, and now we have two clinics. We have Connecticut Children's Hospital with Dr. Isaacoff.
Wow, this is growing.
Oh yeah, we do clinical trials specific to adolescent, young adult cancer, along with Dana-Farber. They are a support system to Dr. Isaacoff, and he's a regular man with 5 kids, and he donates, he travels the country now. We have a clinic at Tufts Medical Center in where is Tufts?
In
Boston. With Dr. Parsons, we have navigators. So our medical students are our navigators. When they graduate medical school, they go off into that. We congratulate them. They go off into their jobs, and they take with them the vision that we fed them. And so we have feelers everywhere. And at Tufts Medical Center, we have patients who are now survivors, and we do research. And then we take on new patients that are newly diagnosed, and we help them through Reiki. We help them with jobs. We help them with their residual effects of their body and their, and it's just an amazing.
So is it still time to sign up?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah, right.
And you wait, did we cover this? You could sign up the day of?
You can sign up. It's www.reedsride.org.
.org, don't forget.
.org.
And where do people show up if they don't and they just show up at the to register? Where is the start?
You begin in Linfield High School.
Linfield High School.
And register there and you start register. Off.
So. Yep,
and you end up at, and you end up at Stage 4 Park.
Stage 4 Park for a big party.
Jeez, that's a great place to end
so
up.
It is. It's beautiful.
That's the, like the apple at the end of the end of the rainbow.
The cookout. We have all volunteers. The Beverly, the Linfield Rotary cooks for us.
Dunkin' Donuts is a big sponsor.
Dio Braga. Dio Braga has been with us since the beginning. He's Dunkin' Donuts. He's our vision. Seaside Graphics. I drop off the banners and say whenever. 2 days later, they're done, ready to pick up.
Yeah, they're very good. People have nothing but good things to say about them.
Oh yeah, the hospital is our ambassadors come and work that day on their own.
Great.
I do want to say that we are the first active group in New England, and the only in the country that supports cancer care. Treatment for 13 to 30-year-olds diagnosed with cancer. So we followed the vision of Lance Armstrong, but since the complication and the whole, you don't even hear about him anymore, he was our hero.
Live strong.
We now have basically feel that we kind of took his place. Mm-hmm. So we are nationwide, and we travel and
great.
We all volunteers.
That's all.
Yeah.
No one takes a dime.
100% goes to the cause.
Yes. They say, well, why didn't you get a famous person? And my sister-in-law says, we have famous people. Yeah. You're all famous because you take part in the vision. And it is really humbling that day. This year is a Star Wars theme. She comes up with a theme every year to rejuvenate. Because we are the force behind defeating AYA cancer.
So do people like dress up for this and stuff?
No, but we have some surprises coming.
We've got some kids, we have.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All with waves and stuff up there.
The youngest boy that rode, do you remember how old he was?
He was eight or nine. He drove. We have a midway point if you're not a great rider. Although people just take off and you can stop, you can go early. They are lost in the feeling of the atmosphere, the ocean, the back fields of Middleton and Danvers. And it's just a day to reflect on what it takes to get ahead. When something you believe in, my sister-in-law started and was turned away and started and was turned away and started and educated, and you feed off of certain people that believe in your vision, and it slowly becomes reality.
And Lorraine's a lot like Tina Kachapolis, where you can't say no to Lorraine.
No. She says she's Abe Lincoln. She said she would tell you this today. She says, I am Abe Lincoln. I am a rebel, and I'm proud of it. I'm for the people. I believe in the people, not society or corporate driven, that to make a change in this. And that's what she does, and the people make a difference. So soon, we can't say too much, but very soon, by the end of the month, you will hear of us. We're going to be on a national level to eradicate cancer, and that's coming out. So we don't know
much
more.
I'll send us the press release when I come.
We will.
Fantastic. Yeah. I commend you, Karen, for donating your time. It's one of
amazing.
Many, but you're here with us, so you're going to get all the accolades, because that's how it works.
It's a lot of fun.
And she's at our clinic at Tufts Medical Center, so that is huge.
She's a good egg. And Karen's business is Dreamtime Wellness.
Yes.
And she does. You do house calls, people can come to you, right?
I have office hours, but I also do home hospice and hospital visits.
Okay.
And the monthly share, and every month we designate a different charitable organization to receive the donations.
And that's www.dreamtimewellness.com.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So all this positive stuff, I love it. yesterday was it yesterday the International Dory Races? Were you there, Karen?
I was there, yeah.
So there was a lot. International Dory Races is something that never gets enough coverage. It's this long-standing Gloucester tradition. Mm-hmm. Lunenburg is the sister city up in Nova Scotia. They come here, we go there. We have races, they have different classes, junior races, the senior races, mixed doubles, and then
women's,
you know, and it's a tremendous organization. It's internationaldories.com. Yesterday there was some crazy excitement. One of the senior crews from
the Masters, yeah,
from Lunenburg, yeah, from the Canadians, at the turn, this is the mile race. I guess he passed out or something. I don't know the details. This is what I'm hearing from other people. Were you there, Karen?
I was there, but I was down at the start, and it was kind of an off day, I think. Within the first 10 strokes, the Canadian team's oar broke.
Snapped, yeah. That happens.
So because it was in the first 10 strokes, they were able to restart. So okay. There was that, you know, so there was that delay, and the whole start of the day had been delayed. And then they got going again, and Bruce Tarr was announcing. He had a better viewpoint from the other side of the channel there, but at the turn, the one guy collapsed, and all we knew was he collapsed, and Bruce was saying, you know, our Coast Guard is there, and because they have great support from the Coast Guard and from the local ambulance companies. So I wasn't able to see it, but somehow they got him out of the boat and onto shore and probably off to the hospital. Mm-hmm. He was conscious, I heard, with a low heart rate.
Wow.
And
pretty intense.
It was pretty intense, but what was really neat then, like the other guy in the boat, he continued to row, and both of the support boats, Gino Mandello had his boat, and then I forget who, Joe Novello, I think, was in the other boat, and Laurel Tarantino was in that boat. They escorted him all the way back to the finish line with him rowing the dory by himself, so it was a real testament to resiliency and, you know.
It's like Howard Blackburn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, the parallels there.
Yeah. And the Blackburn Challenge is coming up on July 16th. July 16th, yeah.
Paul Morrison will be there.
That's a whole other segment for the Morning Post.
This has been a very exciting week in Gloucester. You know, it always is. The beginning of the summer is always exciting. June is always a loaded month with Fiesta and everything else.
Fiesta fever is setting
but
in.
Yeah. This has been a over the top with all the openings. The Brass Monkey, Tano, and Beauport, all in the west end of Gloucester. And so I haven't been in the Brass Monkey yet. I'm going to get there. But I went to Tano for the friends and family.
Oh.
Have I reported on this yet? Not really, just on the blog. We haven't talked about it.
We haven't talked about
okay.
it.
Okay, so I went to Tano on Wednesday night with Kate. And as I'm walking in, the crew that did the construction, Hale Construction, they were outside kind of talking a little bit. And I'm like, oh, I'm really excited to try it. And they says, you have to get the pork chop. Now, growing up in an Italian family,
right,
when we had pork, just like turkey, my mother was a phenomenal cook, but pork and turkey, they killed it. They murdered it. They dried it out.
And they were done.
And it was so dry, you were eating sawdust. Like, you didn't eat. Like, it's just, you didn't look forward to a pork when you were growing up in an Italian family. So I was like, really? But they were so convincing. All of them said, you have to get it. You have to get it. They were so convincing. So I got it. And it was outstanding and ridiculous. It was juicy and it was tasty. It was amazing. And again, I was like, so I guess he does a special process. He brines it and he does something, sugar and salt and stuff. And it is just over the top. So when I reported back on it, I said, you know, exactly what they said to me. I'm passing it on.
Yeah.
You have to get the pork chop. Now, people would say, I'm not getting fucking pork chop. But you gotta get pork chop. So there's that. The tuna tartare, best I've ever had. I've had a lot of tuna tartare.
Okay, well, I'm taking Tom there tonight for Father's Day.
Pork chop.
No, I already have what I'm having planned out. I looked at the menu. I'm having the fried calamari, and then they have like stewed clams with homemade pasta. So that's what I'm having.
I gotta tell you, that place is gonna be just like Duckworth's. You throw a dart at the menu, and you're not gonna go wrong. It's not going to matter. And the room is beautiful. It's
I'm
a who's
so excited to go.
So there's that. Very exciting thing.
Yes.
Next day, Beauport.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah,
that space is ridiculous.
Yes.
And for so many different reasons, it's so great that she has that level, that bottom level, open to the public, because it's a really large space. Mm-hmm. It's wide open. But how proud, mm-hmm. like you can bring a guest from out of town, mm-hmm. sit in that space, whether it's for food, for drinks, whatever, mm-hmm. overlooking the outer harbor.
Right, and you're just like...
So you overhear, you know, people talking. Every person is like, oh my God, oh my God, this puts Gloucester over the top. It was already, you know, we're already living, we already know how blessed we are to be here. But,
it's true.
But like, you sit on that deck and it's magnificent.
Talk about vacation, level. You forget. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you go on vacation for.
So everybody's trying to compare it. Oh, it's just like we're in Newport. Oh, it's just like we're in here. You know what? No, it's just like we're in Gloucester. Because, I mean, we've always had this beautiful thing.
Right.
But so many of us locals, you know, you grow up and you lose. Well, I lost it for a period. I've had it back for a while. But you may lose that appreciation. I mean, that natural beauty, the 10-pound island and the outer harbor and the boats and the activity and everything else, it is over the top.
Yeah.
And for businesses and for weddings, that place, all the naysayers, honest to God, they have to be just eating crow right now.
Yeah.
And you know, like, oh, it's not going to, you know, who's going to go there in the winter? And what's this? And
traffic,
listen, and there's no way you have a hotel and you open it up in one day and everything's flawless. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Well,
it's as close as I think that you can get to that. But the rooms are beautiful. They're going to figure out all the processes.
Yeah.
And God help them during Fiesta. Like, I feel like they're in an absolutely no-win situation for Fiesta. I feel like they're in a no-win situation because everybody's so amped up about Fiesta as it is. And everybody's going to want to go there for Fiesta as it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
Yeah. You think it's going to be flooded with people?
They're going to have to take measures. Because the fire department, they give you codes. Like, you can only have so many people on that deck. So all the people are going to flood there because it's the obvious place
to go to.
Everybody's going to want to go to. Yeah. And they're going to have to, there's going to be some measures of security that they're going to have to put in place. And people are going to be like, oh, they didn't let me in. But they have to understand there's got to be safety
there. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can't be, they can't let that become a shit show. They can't. Because they have to tend to their guests. I mean, and...
Well, for example, like Friday night is not as busy on the beach as Saturday. And you know what I mean? So perhaps Friday night they'll see what they're going to get and then, you know, they'll be able to adapt Saturday.
I have a fairly thing there that no matter what, they're going to be put into a no-win situation. And hopefully they can manage whatever they need to manage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the point I'm trying to get across is the public... should have realistic expectations on the people that they can serve there safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they're not going to let people get absolutely demolished there. So if you go there and they turn you down for drink service, you have to, you know, people need to be realistic
about
this. Hopefully they can just get past this weekend without any kind of...
This is the test.
Well, can I...
I feel like this is an impossible test. You know what I mean? I want them, you know, I root for them like no others. Yeah. But I just want... what I'm trying to get across is people to have realistic expectations.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's almost an impossible task what they're going to be faced with.
Before we go on to the next subject, I would just want to say that I went on a little harbor tour with the mayor around the harbor this past week. And one thing that was very wonderful to notice was, which I never saw standing on the beach, but Beauport Hotel has built a handicap ramp. It's not part of the hotel.
Yeah.
It's from the parking lot.
To
get to the beach, which benefits the whole entire community.
And the other part is, they built this unbelievable facility, and it's open to the public. That, you know, they want you to come dine, they want you to come use that deck and eat and observe, you know, and everything else. The building that was there before was a wall.
Right.
You did not have these vistas. These vistas were not available to the public. It was a white, old warehouse building.
Right.
Now, people, it's on so many different levels. This is an improvement over what we had. So, you know, having access to that to those these vistas that weren't available before is pretty special. All right, kudos to, I went there last night. My meal was great. My service was fantastic.
And you have to sit on the deck.
What did the girls think?
The girls were over the top. They felt like they were celebrities.
They
were in a hotel. And Eloise wants to have, we're gonna try to have a sleepover for her birthday party there.
Oh, that's
which
right.
would be great. You know, because then you can use the pool upstairs and everything
right.
else.
Oh, right.
And other people that flip out if they can't get upstairs, the upstairs is for the guests.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's, let's not be ridiculous.
Right. I was thinking of that today. I said, maybe if we go there and put a reservation in for 2 years from now, maybe we'll get in. It's going to be slammed.
Yeah. It's going to be slammed. It's great. Good for all the businesses. So we got Tono. We did Beauport. I'm going to get to, I'm going to try to, like hell, to get to the Brass Monkey and see what that's all about. I want to get, thank you, Kim, for bringing this up. The mayor has a new executive assistant. His name is Christopher. How do you say his last name? Sicuranza?
Sicuranza?
I don't know. I don't know it. But the more than the new appointment that I want to mention is who he's replacing.
Right.
Christine Pantano. Long time. I think she was with three mayors. I'm not
yes.
sure.
Yeah.
Long, long time yeah. mayor's
actually,
assistant.
At least 20 years. I
at least 20 years. Yeah. And every time I dealt with her, over the top professional.
She's phenomenal.
Sweet, efficient. I had a question. It got answered. I needed to communicate. I got a response. So thank you, Christine, and good luck to Christopher. Right? Thanks for bringing that up. You know him?
Yes, he's so personable, so efficient, so professional, very, very, very bright young guy.
There you
he's going to be just a great asset for the mayor's office.
I want to mention our annual cigar and rum cruise on the Thomas Lennon is scheduled July 14th. It's one of my favorite days of the summer. Any day you can get on the Thomas Lennon is a great day, but to have be able to have cigars. Mm. Ryan and Wood. So the cigars are from 90 Plus Cigar Company, which is Paul... Paul Gigoloni, not Jackaloni.
Oh.
It's Gigoloni.
Well,
it's Gigoloni. Trust me.
His wife is my neighbor, lives across the street, and they pronounce it Jackaloni.
Okay.
FYI, I'm just saying.
I'm just telling. I grew up with these kids. So anyway, I didn't mean to say that. So Paul Gigoloni's company, 90 Plus Cigars, providing two cigars. Ryan and Wood's unbelievable rum. Going to be provided, and you get the cruise on the Lannan. It's all for $40, which a regular cruise on the Lannan is $40. So it's a no-brainer, and we have a great time.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Everybody come. Everybody here, please come.
Kim, you got the new lights that they talked about last year.
Yes.
LED lights are on your street.
They're on our street.
Now tell me what, last year I think that you had reservations because you thought that the color of the LED lights were going to be unpleasing to the eye.
Well,
now that you have them on your street, give me your, now that you have them, what's your reaction?
Well, they're not as harsh as the sample that we looked at. Like, I drove by and took pictures at the sample that they had set up on Washington Street.
So
last year. So they toned it back a little bit. However, I'm still, and you know this in my own house, like we had all our lights replaced with LED lights. And through Mass Save, and I personally hated it, so we went back to incandescent lights because I just like, I just
warmth. You
I
like
just
the
like the
warmth
look, the warmer look. And so I do miss the warmer look on our street, but I have to say that they are very directed and very not blary and not, because one a street light is right outside my bedroom window.
It goes straight down and it has a defined kind of like a cylinder shape where it lights up, right?
Yes. So, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised that it's very livable. It's not blaring into my bedroom window, but on the other hand, I still like the warmer look of the incandescent light. I just do. And I hope someday they can make... You know, everybody says, oh, well, it's a truer...
I don't know why they can't...
Truer does...
I don't know why they can't just tint them.
Right, well, people actually like it. People, proponents of LEDs say, oh, well, it's truer to the natural light is. And I'm like, well, I personally like the warmer look.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because just like when we talk about photography, the golden hour in the morning is golden for a reason.
Right. Right?
You have that golden tint of the sun reflecting off of the ocean, and it's golden and stuff like that. And it really is warmer and more pleasing. Absolutely, right?
Right.
At certain times of the day, no one wants to photograph at high noon because it is that
it's so cold,
that cold light.
Right.
That being said, for industrial things, when boat, so in the past 2 years, a ton of our boats have transferred over to LED lighting on their boats. And when they start up their boats and they put their deck lights on across the harbor, I can see exactly what they are doing, and I have bad eyesight on their deck. Whereas the old lighting that they used to have, it's just a, it was from you know, a distance, a blur. It is definitely a more efficient, like as far as for purpose, lighting is it's much more
task
oriented. It is
safety
much
too, I think. If it's brighter and more, it's safety.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'll light it.
I could see both sides of the thing. You know, I could see why someone wouldn't want like more of a sterile.
Yeah,
as a, when I drive by someone's house, right, and you look inside, and they have like a orange glow inside the house.
That.
It's absolutely a more pleasing thing. I agree
100%.
So, and that's why I say I wonder why they haven't figured out a way to tint an LED light to add that warmth. Maybe they do, and we just don't know about it.
It doesn't take
what do you think, John? Where do you fall on this?
I would think. I mean, already there's LED lights with different coloring, so I would think that this is just a question of time before that becomes a clear option.
Yeah, I agree. And how about you, Karen? Do you have LED lights in your house?
My husband replaced all of our lights with LED lights because they're more efficient and I guess better for the environment.
Yes, it is.
Well, if you're using less power, obviously you have to burn less fuel and stuff like that. So
what were you going to say?
And also just not having to change the light bulbs as often. I mean, that's a massive thing. I mean, that you don't have to go around and check your light bulbs every week.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of lights in our house, and we don't have to change them that much.
I don't think so. A ton. But you know, also don't, when you're not, you are, they do have a much longer lifespan, so there's less stuff going back.
Yeah.
If you're concerned about, or, you know, filling landfills with stuff, that's something that you don't have to fill a landfill with. I know you're very concerned about the environment. It's your thing. But you don't care, but you,
but
not at the expense of your warm lighting in your house. God damn it.
That's right.
But I'm like him too. I had trouble with the look of it at first and was kind of complaining to my husband about it, but you get used to it, you know.
Yeah. I think
well, I hope I hope we're not glued to these particular light bulbs. So in 5 years when the warmer ones are more economical and more readily available, I hope we can switch out to those if it's possible.
You can just get multi-light, right? You know, you can get these LED bulbs with remote controls, and you can change the color of the light at any one time.
Just like they have it at Cruiseport on the tower. I mean, at Beauport at the tower.
Right?
It's all controlled. It goes throughout the whole spectrum.
Really?
And they have it on the lighting at the front of the Seaport Hotel.
Okay.
When they have a wedding, they ask the bride what color she wants
that's
for the lighting for her entrance.
Yeah,
sometimes it's blue.
Right,
sometimes
I've seen the purpley look. Huh.
They do that in swimming pools. In swimming pool lighting, they have that under the water. You can change whatever color you want it to be.
You can buy them for your kitchen and put it under
your toilet now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, your toilet.
I saw that. Oh, that's awful.
It's like the tiny bowl, man. So, Kim, big week for the piping plovers.
The piping plovers.
A lot of news on the piping plovers. Is everybody aware of the piping plovers?
Yeah.
That they have the sections cordoned off on Good Harbor Beach.
God forbid.
Yes, so that's wonderful.
So Kim discovered the nest. And so you can't get close to the nest because there's the cordoned off area, but she has a long, sharp lens. So she caught the birds in the nest.
Yes.
But she also caught these terrible dog owners
that
letting their dogs off leash on the beach and violating the law.
Well, I had another incident this morning of within the first 3 minutes of being on the beach, there were three dogs. And this is actually
off leash or on leash?
Off leash.
Off leash.
Off leash. So I'm standing there trying to film, and I see this guy coming down the beach, dog's off leash, the dog runs straight for the restricted area, runs through the restricted area. I say to him,
how early in the morning was this?
I'm 6:30.
Okay.
Usually I'm there at 4:30 or 5, but this was at 6:30. So I say, you know, this is a restricted area. He mutters something mean under his breath. I'm not quite sure what he said. And then his dogs proceeded to run around on the beach and scare the piping plover that was feeding on the beach. So they're not only threatening the nest, but they're also threatening the feeding plover. See, this is where Joey falls asleep.
No, I'm very excited because you don't want to know why I'm excited? Because I know this whole discussion turns into a shit show,
right?
Because dog owners cannot be wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Dog owners cannot be wrong. Yeah. Their dogs are different than everybody else's dogs. Yeah. Their dogs don't disturb the piping plovers. Their dogs do nothing wrong.
Right. Yeah. That is.
It's everybody else's dogs,
yes,
but not their dogs.
Yeah. Right.
Their dogs are special and should be allowed to go off leash despite the signs.
No. Yeah.
So I don't like to get involved in these situations because it's a no-win situation because these dog owners are psychotic.
Well, you should see, if you saw my Instagram, you would see 5 and 15. I'm just taking pictures. And so, anyway, so.
Yeah, but you know you're going to get hate mail.
Right. Well, so I'm standing there with my telephoto lens, filming and taking pictures, and the guy who had the unruly dogs sees me. So, and I don't think he likes me taking pictures. So, when his friends started coming down to the beach with a dog, he goes over and he starts talking to them, and they're like pointing at me. So, the other guy didn't bring his dog on the beach.
Right.
So, it only takes one person, you know, standing there saying, please don't bring your dogs on the beach. You know what I mean?
It's like,
it seems like it's a never ending battle that we talk about year in and year out.
Right. It's not even because of the piping plovers.
No, there's supposed to be zero dogs on the
beach. Right, on top of that.
Right.
On top of the fact that this time of year they're not supposed to be down there.
And you know what? We have a dog and we follow the rules and our dog is on leash. And these other dogs that run up and run all around and it's follow the rules.
Right.
Just follow the rules.
So from May to October, there's supposed to be zero dogs on Garden Harbor Beach at any time of day, off leash, on leash, it's posted.
They all know.
I'm so happy you're taking up this cause because I'm not taking the arrows.
I'm
not stepping in front of the arrows because they're coming.
You know what? I don't want to be Good Harbor Police Lady. I don't want to do that.
You're taking that role.
You
put three Instagram pictures of people on in a row. I saw it because I could feel the rage that she had this morning through her Instagram account. But she posted three pictures of three different people with their dogs and with the captions, what is wrong with these people? Five exclamation marks.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to be the police.
Well, I'm not going to be. But on the other hand, I just think if
you have an obligation to the plovers.
I was just...
The plovers are your people.
Yes, they are my people.
You get a cardboard cut out of you. We'll just put
them
in the sand.
I appreciate what you do and stuff. I'm making light of a situation that we know is, by bringing this up, that the hate mail that you end up getting.
Yeah. Because I know what's going to happen.
That's what
I'm
happens.
I'm sorry it's going to
It's unfortunate
happen.
That they... It's
and
unfortunate.
I have a dog and I love my dog.
It always comes down to this. You know what it comes down to? The person that's supposed to get paid to patrol it. There's either not enough money to have someone that patrols.
Well, I'll tell you, the city could make $1,000 every morning. The city could, if they actually handed
if they ticketed.
Out, if they ticketed,
definitely.
They could make at least $1,000 every morning. So why not just send somebody
there? They're never on the trails we're at that saying no off leash. They're never at the beach and they're not there. And they would make money.
Well, I must say, in a positive note, since I've been posting trash photos, today there was much less trash on the beach, and the guys who I always talk to down there, Tony and Murray, they noticed that there was much less trash on the beach. So maybe posting trash photos helps. I don't know.
Well, the DPW responded on Facebook to your post.
Oh, they did.
And said we saw this and we're going down there to take care of this.
Oh, they did.
So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Well,
so
they're always down there anyway.
Yeah, no, they're great.
Yeah.
I have no problem. The DP, Mike Hale.
Yeah.
Is the best.
Guy
we ever had.
Right.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
He responds. He gets back to you.
And also
his team.
Right.
These guys are all they're hard working. You don't see anybody leaning on a shovel. Those guys. They are busting their butts. Gloucester DPW.
Right.
Unreal.
I put a picture of Tony and Murray up on Instagram. It's going to go up on the blog tonight of them, like, you know, doing their thing down there. But, you know, if you talk to Tony and Murray, they both have a lot of really good ideas about things that we can do to improve the trash situation down there.
So maybe they can be on a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good idea. That would be awesome to have them on. Anyways, it was really... I had a good conversation with them actually this morning. It was good to see less trash. And also, their rake—did you know this? Their rake is not working.
I didn't know this because I haven't been to the beach once this summer. I've been working.
Their giant rake isn't working, so they're manually, you know, taking care of everything.
I want to thank you. So I got our guests brought gifts, so I need to point out the gifts. Go ahead. Tell me what you brought.
I brought a little coffee cake with blueberries.
Because of the antioxidants. Because you knew how important the antioxidants were.
Yes, it's Father's Day. We can cheat today.
It was very nice. And what did you bring?
I brought you herbs from my garden for your barbecue.
Three big Ziploc bags.
That's awesome.
Full of, and what was it, tarragon?
Tarragon, oregano, and thyme.
And thyme. Mm. I like grind them up and put them on my steak.
Don't even have to grind them. Snip them a little bit.
Just snip them. Yeah. Break them up a little.
Yeah.
And you brought some. You brought. Are you going to pass them out to our guests?
I put them in the fridge.
Yeah.
I asked.
I like it when they snap it. So what is the name of the?
They're Holly's pickles from Maitland Mountain Farms.
Who always takes care of us with the pickles, and we always people that give us stuff, they get that we. That we pimp them. People need to understand how this shit works. Give us shit and we will pimp you. Okay? That's how it works. People are like, oh, I don't know about, you know, this, that. Okay, you know, we might mention you once or twice. But if you do the right thing, we're going to tune you up. That's how it works. This is America, baby. So anyway, getting back to, you had a great topic. Very interesting news. This guy, I don't know what's going on in the mind of Paolo Laboa.
Right.
But Paolo Laboa from Pignoli.
Right. Her former.
So Mark McDonough is where Alchemy was.
Right.
They put a ton of money in, and there was going to be the head chef was this Michelin acclaimed.
He's from Genoa. Excuse me. And he.
Italy. And he had came right. Award winning for his pesto.
Right.
They put a ton of money in renovated Alchemy. They were open for, I think, less than a couple months.
Right.
And then he took off because he got an offer he couldn't refuse out in San Francisco.
Right.
They opened up a big, you know, there was a big splash. I read the headlines of him coming there. They made a big deal out of him opening the place in Gloucester.
Right.
Made a big deal out of him opening the place in San Francisco.
Right.
Now, we find out he's opening up a place in Portland, Maine, mm-hmm. called Saul Italiano.
Right. In the old Ebb and Flow restaurant.
So he is very dynamic.
He doesn't stay in one place.
Very dynamic.
Just drops the name and on show and off he goes.
I wish my name carried that kind of weight. I could just bounce around. People open up restaurants for me. And then I just bounce to the next awesome day. Because out of Portland, tremendous, right?
Yeah.
Right.
San Francisco, tremendous.
Right.
Gloucester, Mass, tremendous.
Right.
I want to be Paolo Laboa in my next lifetime. That guy's got it going on. I don't know what's you know. That is tremendous.
I mean, his food is exquisite.
It is amazing.
Because
he had that restaurant in Beverly before he came up to the Alchemy.
Yes. What was it called?
It was great.
Something about the sea. I forget what it was. Well,
I remember going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It was wonderful.
That's Joey's
not.
Joey's showing us.
I remember in the fall I went there.
Tiny.
And working for 18 hours down the dock. I was exhausted. I came there. Italian family. A nice Italian family. You know, I got a little pasta.
No.
And the pasta came out. It was very nice.
Italian restaurant.
$18. Yeah. Pasta. It's very nice. Very nice. I'm sure
delicious.
Tasty.
Our son-in-law would have to order six of those meals.
Six of them?
That does not fill. No. Yeah. We'd have to go eat again.
You know, us Italians. It's tough
It's tough.
So, does anybody get the scoop on Feather and Wedge in Rockport?
No, but you know what? I've never had to do this before, but I have to leave. I was supposed to be home at 10:30.
Listen, I totally understand. It's Father's Day. We're almost ready. You know, we're going to wrap up in 5 minutes. If you want to just wait for the 5 minutes.
Okay,
right?
Sorry.
That's fine. You know, as a matter of fact, my last topic is right here.
Okay. Okay.
This is for Alicia. She asked me to mention this. Gloucester Boxing Club has a new location at 18 Sargent Street next to Cape Ann CrossFit. You can find them at GloucesterBoxingClub.com or Facebook. They also have women's classes Thursdays at 6 and Saturday at 9. So do that. I want to give everybody a plug. Kim Smith, where can people find your work?
KimSmithDesigns.com.
John?
Vivaldi.com.
Vivaldi.com.
www.reedsride.org. Come for a great day.
And what was the date on that one?
July 17th.
July 17th.
Yes.
Kat, got anything to plug?
No.
No, of course. Go ahead. Kat Pischke.
July 5th is a Reiki Share for Reeds Ride at the Manchester Community Center.
And you can find out more information about you on DreamTimeWellness.com. All right, for Joey Shimataro and the rest of the gang here, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate your time. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.